Okay, there we go. Whew. Man, that was a close one. We were a little bit behind there. Sorry about that, everybody. Hello, world. Good evening. My name is Don, and you're watching Showcase for the week ending Sunday, April 2nd, 2023. Stop the presses. This is our Sunday show, and once again, that means weird headlines and your live chat comments. I'm flying solo tonight. Oh, hang on. Sorry. The music's coming in a little bit loud. We're going to go ahead and adjust that down a little bit. There we go. Anyway, thanks so much for joining me tonight. Don't forget to hit that like button and subscription bell. If you have any weird news headlines, game stream ideas, or dad jokes to suggest, use the contact form on the Linktree page link scrolling at the bottom of the screen. And as always, if you're with us live, drop us a line in the live chat, and I just might read it off live on the air. So, without any further ado, oh, and a couple quick programming notes before we get started. Sorry. Our friend and colleague, AJ, is a little bit under the weather right now. That's why he wasn't able to join us, unfortunately, on Friday night's show either. He's still under the weather. We, of course, wish him a speedy recovery. Hopefully, we'll be able to get him back up and running in time for this coming Friday's show. It's probably going to be another game stream. More info on that later. And also, we have been getting some requests on our TikTok feed, which is also at Weekend Showcase. There's been a lot of stuff in the entertainment news that we've been itching to get to. Top of the list is the Jonathan Majors case, which is still an ongoing investigation and overall situation. We're trying to not put concrete stuff on the record about that opinion-wise until more facts are released and we have a better understanding for what really happened above and beyond the text messages, ideally. But we're going to do something on that in the coming days. We were a little bit behind schedule about that this week, but we're looking to catch up on that over the course of the week. So if you haven't already, make sure you've subbed to us on TikTok if you're there already, at Weekend Showcase, just like pretty much everywhere else. And that's pretty much it for now on that realm. So let's go ahead and get started with why we are here tonight, which is for weird news headlines. So with that in mind, let's go ahead and get started with our first order of business tonight, which comes to us from the Mirror. Hang on. I almost forgot to put the little track here in the background. There we go. All right. So first thing comes to us from the Mirror. Randy Dogs forced to look apart and wear contraceptive pants, but still get pregnant. Okay. Despite living apart and wearing pants, young French bulldogs Lilo and Stitch, nice names there, still managed to sneak in a brief encounter and surprise their owners by falling pregnant. Wow. Okay. Let's see. Bex Kane and Martin Clark were concerned when French bulldog Lilo went off her food and started being sick in January, so they took her to the vets for a checkup. After initial scans didn't show anything, the pair forked out 600 pounds, I think that is, for blood tests, and were surprised to discover the pooch wasn't ill, but actually expecting puppies. The parents of three had kept the 18-month-old girl who was in heat away from their other French bulldog, Stitch, and Lilo had been wearing her protective season pants. I was not aware this was a thing. This is actually a thing. Okay. The pants. Here we go. There we go. I was just looking up at the other thing there, like, just anytime I see, like, small animals in human-looking clothes, it's like, that kind of helps, that can't help but distract me a little teeny tiny bit, I'll be honest. But anyway, so these are the protective anti-pregnancy pants, I guess, for this little French bulldog here. Okay. Good grief. The dog's underwear is meant to stop a dog in heat staining anywhere with blood and is supposed to help prevent any frisky mutts from doing the deed. Okay, having managed to startle the pair apart easily, leading them to believe Stitch hadn't locked on. Oh, jeez. After a 10-minute encounter, I'm hopping around a little bit to try to speed things up. Let's see. In addition to Lilo wearing the pants, Bex, 39, and Martin, 38, believed they'd had a narrow escape, but a week later, Lilo went off her food and started being sick, and it was the following month vets confirmed Lilo was experiencing morning sickness. So, pregnancy photo shoot, happy dog owners. But I gotta say, good grief, like, this seems like the sort of thing that you really kind of, it's really unfortunate and disconcerting for, like, if this was, okay, I'm imagining, like, a brand of contraceptive diapers, you know, contraceptive wear for animals that actually has, like, a patent or something on it, basically, and this news comes out. It's one of those things, this is one of those pieces of news that if that company were to exist, the stock would immediately take a dive, because this is just completely antithetical to everything that company's been trying to do. but this looks like more of a homemade sort of contraption, so I guess fair enough, I suppose, but I don't know. Congratulations to the happy couple, I guess is the overall takeaway from this, and don't forget to help control the pet population. Have your pets spayed or neutered, I guess is the next thing to bring up there. Hashtag Bob Barker. All right, let's move on to the next item on the docket, which comes to us also from the Mirror. Let's see. My boyfriend is convinced he's allergic to me. We've spent thousands on tests. Okay. Let's see. One man has convinced himself that he's... Yeah. One man has convinced himself that he's allergic to his girlfriend because he keeps coming out in itchy red rashes around her. The couple have spent thousands on specialists and tried countless allergy tests, but they are still at a loss, as results show he's not hypersensitive to anything at all. His partner, who works as a hairdresser, has stopped using hair products, wearing makeup and perfume, and even changed her toothpaste and cleaning products to prove it's not her, but her boyfriend still blames her for his rashes and has stopped talking to her altogether, leaving the woman utterly distraught and confused. Wow, that's bizarre. Hey, those of you watching along right now on like YouTube, Twitch, Facebook, and Twitter, hit us up in the live chat. Like, what's a strange allergy that you have, or that you've heard of someone else? Don't drop names, obviously, but like, have you ever heard of any like strange or bizarre or unexplainable allergies and stuff like that? Hit us up in the live chat. This is a new one. I've never heard of being allergic to a whole entire person before. It looks like we have something in the live chat. Hit us up there. excuse me, Brain Spaz. Hey, Brain Spaz, good to see you again. He's trying to break up with her. She won't take the hint. Okay, there's a little bit of pun-y kind of wordplay there. So he's faking a breakup to stage a breakout. And that... Wait, no. Faking a breakout to stage a breakup. There we go. I had it a little inverted there. But, I mean, see, it's a really easy thing to sort of misconstrue and get mixed up there a little bit. It looks like we have another live chat thing happening there. Control, can we put that one on screen, please? Where is it? Thank you. Okay. That typing is a little bit small here. Hang on one second. Let me go ahead and magnify that. There we go. Okay, this next one is culture critical. I'm allergic to green tea and strawberries. Really? I've never heard of green tea. I've heard of like strawberries, you know, like a fresh fruit allergy. Some people have allergies to fresh fruits or vegetables sometimes. I've never heard of being allergic to green tea specifically, or really any tea, really. Okay, noted. Thank you for sharing. Culture critical. Thanks for watching. This is very strange. Let's see. She said, let me see. Hold on a second. I'm trying to place the name again. Where is it? Nope. I don't see a name here. But anyway, okay. So the woman is saying, I changed my laundry soap, my brand of cigarettes, eliminated all hair products and makeup completely. Very, very hard doing this because I'm a hairstylist. Stopped using any perfume, no candles, even went to non-fluoride toothpaste, end quote. She explained that each time he would break out in a rash, he would turn into a paranoid and angry boyfriend. Yeah, that's always unfortunate and really, frankly, toxic when that sort of thing happens, basically, when communication issues break down, and especially over something that's, you know, fixable, basically. In most cases, you know, allergies can happen all the time, can happen at basically any time. If I may be a little bit incorrect with this, don't take anything I say for medical advice. Do your research, consult your physicians as a person-to-person basis. But if I remember right, it's usually around, like, at most, like, in your 30s, basically. Like, mid-20s to mid-30s, basically, it would be the range when new allergies that previously weren't there sort of spring out. I think that's what that is. I may be wrong on that. Somebody, if you're watching along, feel free to do some Googling and drop some more factual information and a link, hopefully, in the live chat. I want to make sure we're spreading the right information there. But I'm reminded of this... This is so crazy because this reminds me of this. I think it was Jim Jefferies was talking about this one time in one of his stand-up specials where he was talking about he's lactose intolerant, but he wasn't always. And it was right around his 35th birthday that all of a sudden, just out of nowhere, he started being lactose intolerant. And he wound up weaponizing that as a reason to leave a date that's not going well, basically, because he could always sort of predict when the reaction would sort of start happening internally. Because, like, that's how well he was aware of how his body was reacting to the lactose. So, that's interesting to hear about this sort of thing happening to a whole person, though. Like, regarding a whole person. That's really crazy. Let's see. Yeah, there's a bunch of other little testimonials down here in the rest of the story, but we don't need to go into the whole rest of this basically. But we have the whole resources list for this and all of our other topics that we're discussing tonight listed in the description area on the bottom of this video. If you're watching us right now on YouTube or Facebook, you can go ahead and check out that sources list there to do further reading on this or any of the other topics that we're covering here. So let's go ahead and move on to the next topic here. We're rolling right along for the most part. Let's see. Next one comes to us from Newsweek. This was first published March 27. Human foot in a shoe mysteriously washes up on a beach in gruesome incident. Whoa. So a human foot inside a shoe has washed up a beach, prompting a police investigation. The disembodied foot was discovered by a member of the public at a beach near Wellington, New Zealand on Saturday morning. The individual was walking along Pitone? Is it? It's either Pitone or Pitone Beach. Or Pitone? I'm not sure. Located in a bay at the southern tip of New Zealand's North Island, when the individual came across the shoe with the foot inside at around 8 a.m. local time. Holy crap. The member of the public notified police, who conducted a search of the surrounding area on land and sea. However, this search yielded no further information. Police are trying to determine who the foot belongs to and are conducting pathology tests of the body part. They said more details will be announced as and when further information becomes available. So those are one of the Jordans, I guess. Not Jordans. I don't know. I can't think of a famous shoe brand offhand right now. But yeah, that fortunately this photo was taken after the human foot was removed. That would have been very traumatic to put on air here. Thank goodness we don't have that here. Let's see. Local residents have expressed shock over the incident, with one saying she was disturbed by what happened. The resident, only identified as Julie, told RNZ, quote, "We bring our kids down here. You're not sure if you're going to find the other one," end quote. Yeah, this actually begs a lot of questions. Like, was a body disposed of? Good grief. Like, what? Where did how could you even trace where it even came from? You know, it just all depends on basically a lot of different factors. Obviously, environmental. Obviously, we have climate change doing a lot of stuff lately. It's anybody's guess, really, the true origins of this. This honestly sounds like a subplot from a movie, or actually, more specifically, I'll tell you what this feels like. This feels like in a murder mystery or something. After the case is closed and everything is settled, basically, there's a thing where one of the pieces of evidence somehow goes missing and like falls into the ocean. The whole rest of the plot plays out. The case is solved, like conclusively, like DNA evidence and all that sort of thing, whatever they do, right? And end of the movie, credits roll, this shoe gets picked up in a whole nother country in like a post-credit scene or something, basically, because that's how far the ocean currents wound up taking the foot. And, like, it's totally out of context, and nobody has any understanding of why that happens. And it's just so bizarre to anyone who's not watching that movie, who's not aware that this is a movie. It's like, wow. That's just my first sort of, like, well, second reaction to this after, holy crap, I hope this gets solved. Good grief. I don't have any further information on that at this time, but hopefully we'll be able to, the authorities over there will be able to get to the bottom of that really soon. Let's go ahead and move on. Next item on the docket comes to us from allthatsinteresting.com. This prehistoric bison, found frozen in Siberia, is so well preserved that scientists think they can clone it.
Oh my god!
Oh, and here's Ms. D in the YouTube comments feed. Thanks for watching, Ms. D. Welcome back. Somebody knows whose foot that is. They know that shoe. I wouldn't rule that out. I wouldn't rule that out, Ms. D. I really honestly wouldn't. Weirder things have happened, and here we are on Weekend Showcase on Sunday night. Pretty much all we do is talk weird news, at least for an hour out of the week, so there you go. But thanks for the feedback. Culture Critical says it's like an episode of I mean, I can imagine the post-credit scene coming off that way, because like, how would you even begin to react to a random body part showing up on a beach like that, or wherever they wind up finding that? I don't know. Jeez. It's bizarre. Let's move on. We're back to moving on to this topic here. Prehistoric bison. Scientists think they can clone it. What in the Jurassic Park? Haven't we seen this movie before? Don't we know how much of a bad idea it is resurrecting ancient, long dead species and bringing them into modern day. I mean, there's literally 6 movies, a couple theme park attractions, a Netflix cartoon, gobs of merchandise, and all sorts of other stuff basically around this one movie, or actually the novel, the Michael Crichton novel, designed specifically as a cautionary tale for where and how science, mainly biological science, life science, can go horribly, horribly wrong with even the best intentions. This is a lesson that we've been teaching ourselves and each other the hard way in recent years, mainly in the realm of artificial intelligence. You know, it's I don't want to go completely off the rails with the AI thing. That's a different topic. But BrainSpaz on YouTube saying people just won't learn not to fool with Mother Nature. Yeah, that's certainly the most direct way to put it, quite frankly. Thanks for the comment, BrainSpaz. Yeah, I hope they don't do this. I really don't want to read about this having actually happened. Please, we've seen the end of the world play out with, oh, good grief. Okay. In the summer of 2022, the remains of an extinct species of bison were unearthed in the Kazakh district of Russia's Verkhoyansk region. Apologies if I'm pronouncing that wrong. The creature was so impeccably preserved in the Siberian permafrost that some scientists believe they will be able to clone it. The bison was sent to the Mammoth Museum Library at Northeastern Federal University in Yakutsk, where researchers performed a necropsy, or an animal autopsy, to find out more about it. The prefix necro seems to suggest more than just specifically animals. I mean, necrotic tissue, necrosis, like those are real medical terms that can refer to like medical phenomena that happens in human beings. I don't know why necropsy refers specifically to animal autopsy, to a dead animal autopsy. I may need to do further research into that specific term. But anyway, moving on. While the scientists did not have the complete remains of the bison, only its head, forelimbs, and part of its chest, they were able to conduct tests to determine its age. Apparently, they say it's about 1.5 to 2 years old, and experts believe the creature died around 8,000 years ago. Okay, so I really don't understand what is the point of this beyond just pure and simple scientific experimentation just cause. I mean, unless this is an extinct subspecies of bison, I mean, I'm pretty sure the bison are still around. I mean, they're not exactly... I'm pretty sure bison aren't endangered. Let's see. Culture Critical says, if I had a clone, we'd be ducking it out for dominance. Ducking it out for dominance. I'm not sure what you mean by that, Culture Critical. But thanks for the comment. but anyway, yeah. It's just, I mean, I can't help but circle back to my previous statement about why are we doing this? Unless you have like very specific situations, very specific situational contexts that justify rolling the dice on the earth, quite frankly, in human existence in comparison, you know, in comparison with this particular species, you know, like did we find that this particular species secretes duking? Culture Critical says duking, D-U-K-E-I-N-G. Duking. Oh, like fighting? You'd be fighting each other? Is that what you mean? Why would you fight yourself? Unless you just want people to say, like, you know, stop hitting yourself, stop hitting yourself, stop hitting yourself. I don't know. I don't know what that's supposed to be for, necessarily. But may the best you win, I guess. I don't know. That might be another response to that. But anyway. But yeah, so unless you're dealing with a circumstance where the species naturally secretes, like, a natural cure for like a debilitating disease. Like what if you're dealing with a species that naturally secretes something that can be utilized as part of a cure for, I don't know, Alzheimer's, AIDS, cancer, you know, male pattern baldness. I don't know. what if that turns out to be the case? And then that winds up being used as the justification for resurrecting a dead species, which that brings with it a whole other series of ethical quandaries, basically. Like, how do you know that this kind of species would even begin to feasibly sort of exist being reinserted into the natural world, essentially, at that point? And who's to say that humanity won't repeat its previous issues and basically just hunt the animal for medicinal purposes? Like, all of a sudden you have another ivory trade on your hands and all the horrors that involves. You know, it's... This is hard for me to read, basically, just because the possibilities and the implications of what this could mean. I don't like this story. I'll be honest, I don't like it. Let's see. The discovery of this preserved bison in Siberia may offer more clues as to how the species lived through these conditions. Wow, the bison still had its brain. Wow. Never seen a bison brain before. There we go. Let's see. Cloning. Yeah, now it's talking about more cloning. Okay. So, while scientists are interested in understanding more about the bison's lifestyle, they're also considering other uses for the remains. Given how well the frozen ground preserved the bison's tissues, some researchers are confident they could use DNA technology to clone the animal. But there's no real sort of, again, there's no real clear sort of indication as to why they would do something like this other than just cuz, in the interest of scientific exploration. But it's like, that's not a good enough reason. Here again, we're dealing with some version of this right now with artificial intelligence. Just because you can explore something in the interest of scientific advancement doesn't necessarily mean that you can. Or means you should, excuse me. Doesn't necessarily mean that you should. Can you? Possibly. Should you? Debatable. The fact that it's debatable ought to be enough to at least have the debate. I don't know. This just seems like too much is kind of going on here in the realm of animal resurrection. It's basically what this is. You know, they're calling it cloning, but this is really animal resurrection, because we're talking about a particular species that, well, actually, I don't, like I said in the beginning, I don't know if this is still around, this particular species of bison, but anyway, let's, I guess, keep an ear to the ground for more information about that. We may have another Dolly on our hands. I don't know. Those of you who may not remember, that was the sheep from the late 90s, the first successful mammal clone, if I remember right, was Dolly the sheep. Found that out on Final Jeopardy a few weeks ago. Anyway, moving on. Let's go on to the next topic, which comes to us from NPR, National Public Radio. A startup says it has made a jumbo meatball using the genetic sequence of the mammoth. I literally just did a whole thing about why this sort of thing is a bad idea. I just talked about this. Come on, science. I just talked about... Okay, and there... Okay, so there's your meatball. So there's the meatball made from a mammoth, and it's under a glass case like the rose from Beauty and the Beast. And, yeah, you can't really unsee that now, can you? That looks like a poop pellet from a rabbit that was expanded by Rick Moranis's enlarging machine from Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. That looks like what this is. I don't have another explanation for this. And I will never eat that. That is not something... Why were you... You're putting this... Look at this plate. You're putting it on a like stone plate served with like a fork and knife on either side of this. Those of you listening to the audio podcast version of this, you gotta check out the YouTube version of this episode to see this thing, or check out the link for yourself. Because this is... You can't write this stuff. Well, I mean, you can. Like, this apparently is a news article I'm reading right now. But it's like, you know what I'm trying to say. It's just, this is too weird. This is one of those things that's right on the threshold of, like, weird for me. Culture Critical on YouTube commenting in says, sounds like something the chef in Wild Kratts would make. Wild Kratts. Is that that animated show about animals that PBS has been running for a lot of years? I think that's what that is. I know what you're talking about, but I've never actually seen an episode of that, like, all the way through to know, like, the exact character that you're talking about. But I take your point. That's something that's too bizarre to exist in live action. That's something that a cartoon character would make. That's what I'm going to go ahead and extrapolate out from that particular comment. And I definitely agree with you there, Culture Critical. Thanks so much for the comment there. Yeah, so an Australian company on Tuesday lifted the glass cloche? C-L-O-C-H-E. I'm not sure the phonetics of that. Apologies if I'm pronouncing that wrong. On a meatball made of lab-grown cultured meat using the genetic sequence from the long-extinct pachyderm, the mammoth, saying it was meant to fire up public debate about the high-tech treat. This is a treat? Are y'all seeing this right now? Look at this. They're calling this meatball made from an extinct animal a treat. What? Okay. The launch in an Amsterdam scientific museum came just days before April 1, so there was an elephant in the room. Haha. Is this for real? Yeah, this is... I wouldn't have called it a treat. There's too much, like, food implications for that, and you just served it on a literal plate with a fork and knife on the other side. Please stop, like, suggesting this is edible, please. Just, like, no. Let's see. Tim Noakesmith, founder of Australian startup Vow, said, quote, "This is not an April Fool's joke. This is a real innovation," end quote. Okay. Cultivated meat, also called cultured or cell-based meat, is made from animal cells. Livestock doesn't need to be killed to produce it, which advocates say is better not just for the animals, but also for the environment. Vow used publicly available genetic information from the mammoth. Oh, come on, get out of here. Those of you on the audio podcast, that little ad popped up in the middle there. Here we go. Vow used publicly available genetic information from the mammoth, filled missing parts with genetic data from its closest living relative, the African elephant, and inserted it into a sheep cell. Given the right conditions in a lab, the cells multiplied until there were enough to roll up into a meatball. Yeah, they did the Jurassic Park thing. Those of you who may not remember the first movie, they took actual genetic information from the mosquitoes that were biting dinosaurs back then and were frozen in tree amber, tree sap, right? They extracted the DNA from the blood that the mosquitoes had, right? And they used the genetic code of frogs to fill the holes in the genetic code that had somehow survived 65 million years encased in amber, right? This is the exact same playbook. This is right out of fiction, people. And it's actually being done to the point where you can feasibly put it on a dinner plate. That's where we're at. Now, obviously, there are positive possibilities from this as far as the implications of things like solving world hunger, obviously. But I don't know about that. I don't know that I would trust cloned meat, you know, on my plate. I don't know that I would consciously, deliberately trust that, you know? I mean, how much is kind of like getting messed up about our food supply and our air supply and our water supply just right now, you know, in the world that we're in right now, the whole climate change environment that we have going on right now, that's basically steamrolling over parts of the world, just parts of this country. You know, the horrible tornadoes that struck last week, to say nothing of all the random, like, freezing weather stuff that was happening in California. I think it was last month. It's crazy. Like, are we really gonna go ahead and double down on human-controlled nature to this degree under the auspices of either scientific advancement or solving a hunger crisis? I don't know if this is a good idea. I'm hoping that there's some other things, other avenues that can be done that seem like a little bit less risky. That being said, everything is a risk. All of that being said, everything is a risk at first until you sort of work the kinks out. But then again, how long does it take for the trial and error process to conclude when we're comfortable with whatever it is? You know? So BrainSpaz here is saying, trying to get people to eat what would probably cause more world hunger. Oh, sorry. Trying to get people to eat that would probably cause more world hunger. That only follows, unless I'm reading your comment wrong, BrainSpaz, thank you for the comment. Unless I'm interpreting your thing wrong, that only follows so long as nobody has anything at all to eat except this cloned meatball. And basically, people wind up sort of going on self-imposed sort of hunger strikes, basically, because this is all they've got. And for whatever reason, this is what they have to eat. And it's just not, people are just swiping left on that left and right. So under those specific circumstances, I can see something like this inadvertently causing more world hunger. But I mean, that's a very specific set of circumstances that hopefully we are nowhere near. I'm just going to go ahead and put that hope out into the ether that we will not be that desperate worldwide as a species, as the human species, to where this is all we've got. And a lot of people wind up sort of rejecting this as a food source out of protest. I really hope that doesn't wind up happening anytime soon. Anyway, that's all I got for this. What's your reaction to this or any of our other topics tonight? Go ahead and drop us a live chat if you're here. Don't be shy. Just make sure you're subscribed because this subscribers only mode is happening right now. So as we want to reduce the spam. But in any event, this is Weird News right here on Weekend Showcase. We are streaming live right now across YouTube, Twitch, Facebook, and Twitter at Weekend Showcase. Thank you so much for joining and smashing that like button and subscribing or following, as the case may be, on your social media platform of choice. Let's see what else we've got on the docket tonight. We have four more stories to get through. Let's see. This next one is also from NPR. Why scientists just mapped every synapse in a fly brain. Okay, finally. This is what I'm talking about. Here's a crazy topic, right? Here's a crazy topic that actually has or presents itself as having a sound, rational, and logical explanation for why. You know, we've been reading a lot of weird stuff, and it's like, why? But all right, here's something. Let's see. These are so. This is a map. Those of you on the audio podcast version of this episode, we're looking at a multicolored map. This looks like some sort of a weird cross between a color by numbers and like a connect the dots kind of, I don't know, preschooler kind of art project, but with orders of magnitude level of complexity to it. It's way seriously dense concentrations of dots with multiple colors sort of like strung together with different colored lines. And this is, I guess, every synapse in a fly's brain, I guess, sort of mapped out in the two-dimensional space. Let's see, the story begins. To really understand the human brain, scientists say you'd have to map its wiring. The only problem, there are more than 100 trillion with a T, different connections to find, trace, and characterize. But a team of scientists has made a big stride towards this goal, a complete wiring diagram of a teeny tiny brain. The brain of the fruit fly larva is a lot simpler than a human's, with about 500,000 connections to map, but it's still a major step up from the best mapped model organisms so far, such as the roundworm and the larval sea squirt. I've never heard of the larval sea squirt, or any sea squirt for that matter. Not quite sure what to make of that particular biological reference, but okay. With a full map, or connectome, I guess that's a word, connectome, of the larval fruit fly brain, scientists can start to understand how behaviors shape and are shaped by the specific wiring of neural circuits. Okay, so we're converging on a point in terms of humanity's scientific understanding of the world and the universe, where we can actually have, theoretically, a scientific, precise, and individually tailored scientific explanation for that dumb thing your roommate just did last night, or for this ridiculous request that your boss just made at work, or what was in your own mind when you, went to the bar last night and turned on the karaoke machine and, put on bluegrass music. I don't know. I'm doing terrible with improv right now, but something along those lines. My point is, like, we're almost able to actually sort of chart out precise explanations for why we do what we do, which then leads to precise explanations for why we are what we are in terms of individual existence, individual autonomy, personalities. Where do personalities come from? Above and beyond, you know, deconstructing the concept of the human soul, which that Pixar movie did a far better job of that, even though it wasn't it wasn't done on a scientific basis at all. It's just like an idea for how to sort of illustrate the before life. But I mean, it's this actually fascinates me. This story might actually be in the running for my favorite topic of the week, I'll be honest here. It looks like we have an animation here. Let's give this a shot and take a look at what this is. Okay, so this is, I guess, a real-time 3D rendering of the synapses, the individual synapses and neuroses, I guess. Not neuroses, excuse me. I don't know the right word for it. I think it's just the synapses is just what I'm going to have to go with here. Of the brain of the fly. And yep, that's the end of the scan. All right. So it's a fully three-dimensional rendering. It looks like a bunch of balloons. They look like the balloons that were attached to Carl's house in the movie Up, but like put horizontally, basically, you know, because it's actually rendering out the brain stems, I guess, the individual sort of nerve endings, basically, as it goes down from the brain down through like to the rest of the fly's body. I'm doing a terrible job of explaining this. I'm a computer nerd, not a life scientist or a entomologist or anybody who would have that kind of scientific training to understand better what I'm even trying to describe here. But sue me. I'm trying my best. Anyway, so this is, let's see. Okay, so yeah, this is interesting. This is actually very interesting to me. Just because this is something that's genuinely new that has fascinating sort of potential to explain some things in a way that doesn't directly endanger human existence. directly and immediately endanger, at least that I can tell, as far as I can tell. But again, not a life scientist, not a, you know, biologist of any, or of, by even the most generous stretch of the imagination. So take that reaction with a grain of salt. This is just where I'm coming from here. But yeah, that's the larval fruit fly's brain. And there's a podcast attached to this with a greater sort of explanation of that, of this particular research. I guess this is an audio podcast, which is going to be way too long to play here, and we don't have the rights to, for it anyway. But this whole article is on National Public Radio. It's on NPR.org, and we have the resource, the specific resource listed off in the description area on the bottom of this video. If you're watching us on YouTube or Facebook, you can go ahead and check that area for this or resource information for any of the other topics that we've been covering tonight. So feel free to check that out at your convenience, basically, just after the show. Okay. We have like three topics left, and then we're going to go ahead and wrap this up with Dad Joke of the Day and close it out. So let's go ahead and get started with the next item on the docket here, which, let's see if I can pull this up. There we go. All right. So this is from Yahoo News. Hands poking out of insulation in Florida attic belongs to a hiding man, according to cops, authorities. Okay, this looks like dirt. This looks like somebody was just straight up buried alive. But you're telling me this is insulation. Okay, Yahoo News, okay. In a scene straight out of a horror movie, two human arms were found reaching out of the insulation in a Florida home's attic. They were attached to a very, quote-unquote, itchy burglary suspect, according to the Lee County Sheriff's Office. It happened Sunday, March 26th, at a home in North Fort Myers, about 120 miles south of Tampa. Florida, Florida, Florida. Florida, 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 Florida. All right, the sheriff's office said in a news release, quote, deputies were informed an unknown man entered the residence and never left. When deputies entered the home, they heard someone walking in the attic above them and found a 5-gallon bucket under an attic access, along with insulation debris on the floor, end quote. And then the story, the quote goes on with, deputies ordered the accused intruder to come down. When that got no response, the sheriff's office said they utilized non-lethal gas to force the suspect from the attic. That also failed. Something canine unit. Okay, a search of the home also revealed a broken window, appliances in use, and tools scattered throughout the residence. The 44-year-old who lives in Fort Myers was arrested and charged with burglary and resisting an officer. Bond was set at $31,500. Wow. So if this person wasn't already being labeled a burglary suspect, I would think this was somebody trying to squat in this house somehow and just tried to go unnoticed in the attic, like Willie Nelson in Aqua Teen Hunger Force. Not Willie Nelson the singer, Willie Nelson the anthropomorphic onion with spider legs, basically. Aqua Teen Hunger Force. Watch it on HBO Max if you get the chance. All right, culture critical. Like I said, man, Florida just can't be real. AJ. Oh, so that's his username. Okay, so this is my co-host AJ, who unfortunately couldn't be with us on camera in person today. I forgot that's his YouTube username. He's joining us via text today, apparently. Good to see you, AJ. Thanks for joining us today. Get well soon. Hope you're feeling better, and you'll be able to be with us at full strength by the time we get to do the Friday show, which is going to be about 8:30 Eastern time, 5:30 Pacific, this coming Friday, right here on Weekend Showcase. But anyway, we'll go ahead and keep an ear to the ground on that. And I guess move on after putting out this question to the audience. What would you do if you discovered somebody living in your attic? You know, how would you respond to that? You know, hit us up with a comment. Let us know how you might react to that sort of situation. Let's move on. In the meantime, next topic on the docket here comes to us from the Associated Press. Arizona Dairy Queen on the hunt for missing red spoon statue. Okay. This is in Phoenix, Arizona. The owners of a Dairy Queen in Phoenix remain perplexed and slightly amused as to why someone would steal the giant red spoon that adorned their restaurant. I'm going to apologize in advance. I'm not sure how to pronounce this name. Puya or Puha Kalara. I really apologize. I know I'm messing that name up. But this is a quote from Wednesday. Said, we were kind of upset but then more puzzled, what are they going to do with a spoon? End quote. Ms. Kalra and her husband, Rahman Kalra, say the spoon snatching occurred sometime between late Friday and early Saturday. The 15-foot-tall spoon stood against the side of the building with the handle nestled in an opening of a roof parapet. Their surveillance camera caught two people appearing to manipulate the screws that held the spoon to a base and then taking off on a small motorbike. Shout out to Ring, or I guess whatever their surveillance camera and like building security company is, I suppose. Probably not Ring. I don't know. That's just the first thing that came to my mind here. Rahman Kalra said, quote, they were so precise about it like they had done it before. They just wiggled their way through and made sure the spoon was not damaged. End quote. The couple reported the theft to Phoenix police. Let's see. Wow, getting another spoon made, delivered, and then installed would cost over $7,000. Wow, that's crazy. So this big red plastic spoon that was... Okay, so it's drilled into this thing that's implanted in the ground, into like the pavement, basically. Or not pavement, there's some little like rocky sort of like area, I guess, adjacent to the paved sidewalk that's circling the building here. But you can see as I pan the camera up, it goes up through the roof. This red spoon goes up through the roof of the whole building. And so like, are you telling me that they didn't have anything on the roof to further secure this thing? They were able to literally just unscrew the spoon from the ground and then just pop it up and then tilt it just so and then just perfectly just slide it out from the roof. Like, how did they have enough room? The hole that the spoon goes up through would have to have just enough slack for them to pull that spoon out at an angle to be able to facilitate this kind of robbery. That's crazy. That's crazy to me. That seems like a major construction flaw that got exploited in the most unpredictable way possible, basically. Especially when you factor in that their getaway vehicle was a motorcycle. Something like this was stolen and left, was taken away from the premises on a motorcycle. Seriously? Seriously. Wow. That's some weird news right there. Anyway. Let's go ahead and move on to the next topic here, which this is our last topic for the day. Once again, this is Weird News right here on Weekend Showcase. We're live across YouTube, Twitch, Facebook, and Twitter at Weekend Showcase. Thank you for joining and smashing that like button and subscribing or following, as the case may be, depending on what social media page you're watching this through. We're looking at the last topic for tonight here, which, oh, we already covered that. My mistake. I opened this tab twice. Wow, that was a mistake. Oh well. Dagnabbit. Well, you know what? We had a good layout here, basically. We got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 different topics here to pull from as far as favorite topic of the night. And we have some pretty good contenders here, honestly. We had this... Let's see, what was it? I'm trying to find it. Okay, this woman saying her boyfriend is convinced that he's allergic to her directly. Where was it? This was from The Mirror, published on March 30th. We covered that near the top of the show. We had the two dogs that were forced to live apart, and wear contraceptive pants, but got pregnant anyway somehow. So that was bizarre. But I honestly gotta give it to the one that we were talking about before, the hands thing. Let me see, where is it? Darn it. Trying to find is it the fly thing? I'm trying to find it. Nope. Here it is. Alright. Sorry, that took a minute to find again. The other NPR topic from this week, the mapping every synapse in the fly's brain. Just look, we live in crazy times right now, people. Okay? These are really crazy times, really anxiety-inducing times. And, you know, anything that we can do within reason to find sane, sensible, rational explanations for why things are the way they are, especially when you're dealing with something that's as messy and unpredictable as autonomous free will. People are going to do what they're going to do. People are going to think whatever they're going to think. People are going to say whatever they're going to say. Actually having a means to explain why could go a long way towards not just understanding each other as individuals who have to coexist in this world, but actually addressing, you know, behavioral issues, addressing maybe even curing trauma, you know. And that seems to me to be actually important research that could go a long way towards making the world a better place. At least that's my first reaction to that upon reading this and thinking into it a little bit deeper. So I'm going to go ahead and give this topic my favorite topic of the week here from NPR. Why scientists just mapped every synapse in the fly brain, first published March 29th. You can do further reading on this or any of the other topics that I've been talking about tonight by visiting the description section at the bottom of this video. If you're watching this on YouTube or Facebook, every source, as always, is posted there for your convenience. So you can go ahead and begin your search for more information and more reading there if you so choose. Anyway, so let's see. We have, I'm being passed notes from control. We may be missing a couple of topics here somehow. Let me try and figure this out. I'm not sure what topics you're referring to there, control. I'm going to try to go ahead and look back into the roster of topics here on my side and see if that can be pulled up. But anyway, I'm going to also open this up to the audience as well. Are there any weird news topics that you guys have been coming across over the course of this last week? Shoot us a mention in the live chat and we just might be able to pull it up here. Let's see. Okay, here's one. And here's another one. How did these not get picked up? Wow, my mistake. My mistake, guys. I found the other two that we were missing. Okay, we got it. Okay, so here we are. Here's one topic. This is from Global News. There's this and one more. Teen needs size 23 shoes. Under Armour steps up to make its largest ever pair. What? Wow. Okay, so at age 14, Eric Kilburn Jr. of Michigan stands 6'10" in height. For years, he's experienced massive difficulty finding shoes to fit his equally massive size 23 feet. Wow. Wow. Someone's been drinking lots of milk and eating their Wheaties every morning. That's, wow. Kilburn told the Washington Post he would squeeze his feet into a pair of size 22 Nike sneakers to go to school or participate in his football practices. The two small shoes weren't just uncomfortable, they gave him blisters and ingrown toenails. Ouch. Kilburn told the outlet he's even had two of his toenails permanently removed. Whoa. For a while, Kilburn was forced to wear Crocs, yes, in the winter too, because they were the only shoe that would come close to fitting his wide, flat feet. The teen hasn't owned winter boots in 5 years. Wow, oh my god. Size 23 shoes are not sold commercially. The average men's shoe size in the US is 10.5, and between sizes 9 and 12 worldwide. Okay, Kilburn's shoe size is even bigger than former American basketball player Shaq, who wears size 22. Wow. Okay, so Let's go down to the solution here. On Sunday, Kilburn and his family met with an Under Armour representative to get a 3D rendering of his feet. Let's see. Where is it? Under Armour offered to design a pair of size 23 football cleats so he can play in the upcoming season. Wow. Wow. Towering over everybody right there. Holy crap. Yeah, those of you who are listening on the audio podcast, you got to check this out here. That's crazy. Let's see. Under Armour wasn't alone in their offer to make shoes. Puma also offered to make him a pair of basketball shoes and will meet him in the coming days to take his measurements. Moreover, the construction company Cat asked to design a pair of boots, and the Italian company Mori Shoes offered to make a mold of Kilburn's feet for dress shoes so that he can attend school dances. Wow. It's like Avengers Assemble, basically, right? You got Puma, Under Armour, Cat, Mori all like gathering together at the same time to help make this kid better able to function as a high school student. That's like, and a person basically. Like, that's amazing. That's a piece of good news. That's actually a piece of good news. Huh. Cool. So let's move on to the congratulations to what's his first name? This Kilburn kid. Hang on a second. I'm trying to find his first name again. I already forgot. Eric Kilburn Jr. of Michigan. Cool. Well, congratulations, Eric. Best of luck in the coming football season. Let's move on to the last topic of the night, which I guess I have to pull up separately here. Let me see. For some reason, the link didn't pull up. It's something to do with McDonald's, which, let's see. My back-end system is taking a moment to load up here. Here we are. All right, this is from some website called Canoe. I don't think we've covered anything from them before, but it's worth a shot. Let's take a look here. All right. Woman joins husband on 100-day McDonald's diet after he loses 30 pounds in a month. Okay, so this is like the reverse of that Morgan Spurlock movie from 2004, I think it was, Super Size Me. This is like that in reverse. You don't too often hear about cases where people go on an all fast food diet for a month or like some long inordinate period of time and wind up actually losing weight. That's just straight up bizarre. But if you have the body chemistry to be able to pull that off, hey, more power to you. Let's see. What do we have here? Okay, on day 36 of his 100-day eating plan, Kevin McGinnis has revealed on TikTok that he is officially down 30 pounds. McGinnis's food journey, eating 3 McDonald's meals a day but only half the portions, has been so incredible that many people are doing the same thing, and now his wife Melody wants in on the action. The 56-year-old took to his TikTok account on Monday, where he regularly documents his days, to tell fans about Melody committing to the diet. Wow. Let's see. Like any plan, McGinnis's diet hasn't been without its ups and downs. Okay, he previously said, quote, I'm hoping for about 50 pounds by the end of 100 days, end quote. Okay, so he's a long hauler here. Yeah, this is intriguing as something that's like got potential to do some good, but I would not just jump in my car and go to any fast food place under the auspices of weight loss. Not just because like I'm not personally trying to lose weight, but also like just in general, this seems like something that's more of a genetic fluke than anything else. Make sure you're consulting your, you know, healthcare professionals, you know, and get sound medical advice. I wouldn't go to TikTok for sound medical advice personally, but this is an amusing and interesting sort of topic to come across. I will say that. I guess that's basically all that can be said that I can personally say about that. But I guess congratulations to Mr. and Mrs. McGinnis there, and best of luck on the ongoing weight loss journey. So I guess that's going to be the end of that particular topic and most of our docket, apparently, for this particular episode. Oh, we have a thing from Ms. D on YouTube saying, no wonder he lost weight. He probably got sick of eating that fast food, so he fasted. But he was still eating. He was still eating the McDonald's food, though. Let me see here. Yeah, he's been eating 3 McDonald's meals a day, but only half portions. Yeah, I guess it would need to be sort of looked into what those specific meals are that are being eaten in half portions 3 times a day. I didn't see that information on here. You could probably find it on his TikTok account. It's like we said, he's documenting everything on his TikTok page. But anyway, I guess you can get linked to that by going to this specific story on Canoe, which you can get that resource in the description area at the bottom of this screen, at the bottom of this video, excuse me, on YouTube or Facebook if you're curious about reading further into this or any of our other topics that we've been talking about tonight. So I guess that's going to bring us to an end for this particular episode of Showcase, but not before we do our usual shut down thing here that we do to close out every episode. I pull out the brown tablet and we do dad joke of the day. Now, I don't have Kaiko here with me tonight, unfortunately, to, you know, do the obligatory, like the net or whatever, or the cringe gesture or whatever, basically, because these are they're dad jokes. What you gonna do, right? I mean, we knew this. Anyway. Oh, Ms. D said, okay, maybe then he just threw up a lot. The McGinnis guy with the McDonald's diet explaining the weight loss. Possibly, Ms. D, possibly. But anyway, and thank you for the comment. So let's go ahead and do dad joke of the day here. Let's see. We have a couple of different options here. Let me see. How about this? In 2017, I didn't do a marathon. I didn't do one in 2018, 2019, or 2020 either. This is a running joke. There you go. So, I was expecting a rim shot from Control. Oh well. It stands on its own. We don't need it. Anyway, so that was Dad Joke of the Day, and that brings us to the end of this particular episode of Showcase for the week ending Sunday, April 2nd, 2023. Thank you so much for subscribing and watching and liking and following, as the case may be. And whoops, there it is. Shoot, that was weird. Anyway, and earlier I was talking about the favorite topic of the week being the synapse of a fly's brain being mapped. That was my favorite topic of the day. But what about you? Drop us a comment in the comment section below and visit us at Weekend Showcase on all major social media platforms or linktr.ee/weekendshowcase, like in the description and at the bottom of the screen, to see all of our content in one place, including our podcast. Remember, we do audio podcast releases of these Sunday Weird News shows a little bit later in the week. We're trying to get in the habit of posting new episodes of that on Wednesdays on that same week. We're up to 2 Sundays ago. We're going to post the one from last Sunday later tonight, and the audio version of tonight is going to be up by Wednesday. So we're going to go ahead and get the ball rolling on that. And if you have any weird news topics, send them to us. And don't forget to make sure those notifications are on for our next episode, which is going to be another game stream this coming. Hang on a second. Let me get this music off. There we go. Our next episode is going to be a game stream this coming Friday night at 8:30 p.m. Eastern, 5:30 Pacific, right here on Weekend Showcase. What are we going to play next? Make sure you're following us on social media. We'll be sure to announce it there beforehand. And until then, have a good night. Be safe. Have a good week. And we will see you next time. I'm Don. Thanks for watching. Good night. Those were some weird news.